Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being well-informed, with surprising facts and just enough humor to keep you hooked. Today, we're putting on our detective hats. We want to uncover the hidden reasons behind one of the most pressing questions in today's workplace. Why do people resist AI, even when it seems to promise clear benefits? I mean, AI is everywhere now, right? From the smart assistant in your pocket to these complex operations humming away in major industries. And yeah, it offers immense potential for improvement, for efficiency. But it's often met with, well, hesitation, confusion, sometimes even outright resistance.
It's a fascinating human paradox, isn't it? We're constantly told AI will make our lives easier, more productive. Yet you see people pushing back, sometimes hard. So this deep dive, we're going to unravel exactly that, the human side of AI adoption. We'll look beyond the tech specs, really, to the psychology at play.
Right. And to guide us, we're leaning on some fantastic new research. It's an integrative review and process framework. It's titled Confronting and Alleviating AI Resistance in the Workplace by Golgechi and colleagues, just published this year, 2025, in the Human Resource Management Review. Seems like a really powerful framework for understanding what's actually going on beneath the surface when AI gets implemented.
Exactly. Our mission today is pretty clear. First, we'll unpack the psychological mechanisms behind this AI resistance. Then, importantly, we'll explore concrete, actionable strategies for alleviating it, especially thinking about learning and development context. This conversation, honestly, it's essential for trainers, for corporate L&D teams, HR leaders, coaches, really anyone navigating these AI transitions in their organizations. It's about understanding the why behind the pushback so you can actually move forward effectively.
Okay, so let's dig in. If we're talking about resistance to new technology, you know, isn't that just kind of old news? People resisted early computers, didn't they? The internet, even. What makes AI resistance a new, underexplored phenomenon, as our sources call it? What's really different this time around?
The crucial distinction, yeah. And it gets right to the heart of why AI poses such a unique challenge. Unlike conventional IT, AI brings some fundamental differences to the table. First off, there's what the research calls cognitive mimicry and supremacy. This is AI's ability to think, learn, even create in ways that mimic or, frankly, sometimes surpass human capabilities.
Okay, so not just following rules like old software.
Exactly. Traditional IT systems were rule-based. They just executed commands we gave them. But AI, it can mimic, match, even outperform humans on specific cognitive tasks, analyzing complex data, writing text, you name it. And that directly challenges employees' perceptions of their own identity, their value, their work, their autonomy. It feels less like a tool.
And more like a rival.
Precisely. Or at least something that fundamentally changes their role. Second, AI systems are often black boxed. You hear that term a lot.
Meaning we don't know how they work inside?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Their performance can be inscrutable and they operate autonomously. AI learns from these huge data sets and makes decisions in ways that aren't always transparent or easily explainable. That naturally fosters suspicion. People think, okay, how did it arrive at that conclusion? Can I actually trust it if I don't understand its reasoning?
Yeah, that makes sense. The lack of transparency is a big hurdle.
A huge one. And then there are the unique ethical concerns. Now, we're not diving deep into policy or ethics today, but you have to acknowledge it. AI introduces novel issues around accountability. Who's responsible when an AI makes a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Potential biases baked into the algorithms. Privacy. These things weren't nearly as prominent with older IT, and they add another layer of human concern. Leaders absolutely need to be aware of this when rolling out AI.
Yep.
And finally, just look at the rapid acceleration of generative AI. Things like ChatGPT, that's amplified all these challenges. Suddenly, it's impacting white-collar knowledge jobs, tasks many people thought were uniquely human. That's creating new levels of confusion, anxiety, and hesitation across the board.
Wow. Okay, so it's definitely not just about learning a new piece of software then. It feels much more profound, almost existential for some roles. So knowing that, our sources conceptualize this resistance using three core cognitive dimensions. Can you walk us through those? What are the underlying human elements driving this?
Absolutely. The research really boils AI resistance down to three powerful cognitive factors. These shape how people react. They are fear, inefficacy, and antipathy.
Okay, let's start with fear.
Right, fear. And look, this isn't just about job displacement, although that's obviously a huge part of it, a primary driver. It's also worries about reduced autonomy, you know, losing control over your work, an erosion of human value. You hear that saying, technology eliminates jobs, not work. But for the individual employee, it feels very much like their specific job is on the line. This fear can also extend to physical health and safety. Think about industrial robots or even psychological stress. the uncertainty, the loss of control when AI is integrated into daily tasks. That takes a toll.
So it's a broad fear, covering job security, but also control and well-being.
Exactly. Then number two is inefficacy. This is basically the perceived inability to interact effectively with AI systems, feeling like you just can't use it properly. Our sources highlight how the surge in technological complexity and swift pace of technological change, well, it can leave employees feeling completely overwhelmed, inadequate, like they just can't keep up.
I can imagine that feeling, like your skills are becoming obsolete overnight.
Right. And that feeling can lead to deep frustration, self-doubt, cynicism, even burnout, frankly. Just feeling defeated by the technology.
Okay, so fear of loss, feeling incapable. What's the third one?
The third is antipathy. This is more of an outright mental state of disliking or even resentment towards AI itself. It often stems from feeling alienated. Maybe changes were poorly communicated, hitting them out of the blue. Or perhaps employees perceive a loss of privacy or control, or they have ethical objections. It's a deep-seated dislike of the technology, often rooted in that initial fear or that feeling of powerlessness and inefficacy we just talked about.
And we've definitely seen these play out, haven't we, in the real world? Our sources mentioned things like dock workers striking against port automation or those global pause AI protests you hear about. These are just abstract academic concepts. They're real human reactions, often driven by concerns about job losses, but also these sort of perceived existential threats. It really shows how widespread and deeply felt these dimensions of resistance are.
Exactly right. It's a fundamental human response when we perceive threats to our roles, our identity, our sense of self in the workplace.
Okay, so if those are the core dimensions, fear, inefficacy, antipathy, what actually happens inside an employee's mind when they encounter AI, when they're confronted with it? How do they process this?
Good question. When employees confront AI, the research suggests they engage in three primary internal mechanisms or ways of processing.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember these aren't automatically negative reactions. They're sense-making processes. The first is experiencing mistrust.
Mistrust. Okay.
Yeah. A lack of confidence, maybe skepticism, or just general wariness about the AI's reliability, its safety, its intentions, even its ethical implications. This can easily arise from job insecurity, like we discussed, or simply from unfamiliarity. If it feels like a black box, how can you trust it?
Right. The black box again. It keeps coming up.
It's central. Then there's existential questioning. This is deeper. This is where employees really grapple with fundamental self-doubt. Uneasiness about their work identity, their purpose, their usefulness. They start questioning the very meaning of their work, especially if AI starts taking on tasks they thought were uniquely human, requiring creativity or complex judgment. It's a profound moment of self-reflection, potentially quite unsettling.
I can see that. Questioning your whole professional identity.
It's significant. And finally, the third mechanism is technological reflection. This is a more comprehensive sort of critical weighing of both the good and the bad, the positive and negative aspects of AI, thinking about its implications not just for their job, but for the workplace, maybe even society as a whole. It's about consciously trying to make sense of this complex new reality, considering the benefits alongside the potential downsides.
Okay, this is where it really starts to connect the dots for me. Our sources identify two complementary processes that seem to bridge that individual confrontation with what organizations can do about it. They talk about anxiety and introspection. What does that mean for us, you know, for managers, leaders, or even just individual employees trying to navigate all this change?
Yes, these two processes, anxiety and introspection, are absolutely key to understanding the dynamic interplay here. Anxiety, as you might expect, is a natural, often overwhelming, negative emotional response. It can be amplified by accumulating all those resistance factors we talked about, the fears, the feelings of inefficacy, the antipathies. And this anxiety can, in turn, fuel more mistrust and more existential questioning. It's a natural, though difficult, reaction to profound change and uncertainty.
Okay, so anxiety is the negative loop, potentially. What about introspection?
Introspection is the positive flip side. It's described as a positive cognitive process. This is where employees actively, consciously reflect on their own thoughts and feelings about AI, their personal reactions. This allows for, as the research puts it, a nuanced understanding of their resistance. It helps them figure out why they feel the way they do. And crucially, it helps them develop coping strategies and leverage alleviation mechanisms that the organization might offer. The paper calls it an instrumental enabler for positive engagement with new things, like AI.
So introspection is key to moving forward constructively.
It seems to be. There's a really powerful example from the sources involving BMW. Apparently, employees initially feared AI taking their jobs. There's that mistrust, again. big time. But through actually interacting with the AI systems on the line, and through presumably some structured reflection and good communication, they started to realize the AI was actually supporting them with complex, physically difficult manual tasks. It wasn't replacing them, it was helping them. This led to what the source calls productive interaction. It's a great case study showing how introspection, facilitated by experience and support, can shift perceptions from threat to genuine collaboration.
That's a fantastic example, a really powerful shift from fear to collaboration. So if employees are confronting AI in these complex internal ways, mistrust, questioning, reflecting, and experiencing anxiety, but also potentially introspection, what can organizations actually do? What are the key levers they can pull to alleviate this resistance effectively? What works on an organizational level?
Right, the practical side. The research highlights three major organizational level alleviation mechanisms, things companies can actively implement. First is AI accessibility.
Accessibility, making it easier to use.
Easier to use, yes, but also more approachable and understandable. This involves transparency, opening up the black box as much as possible. It involves explainability, what's often called explainable AI or XAI, helping people understand how the AI reaches its conclusions. And it even involves what the paper terms humanization, making the AI feel more relatable, maybe giving it characteristics that help people see it more like a coworker rather than just a cold, emotionless machine. The goal here is fundamentally about building trust. If you can see how it works, understand its logic, maybe even relate to it somewhat, you're far less likely to fear or mistrust it.
Okay, transparency, explainability, making it relatable. That makes sense. What's the second mechanism?
Second is human AI augmentation. This is crucial. It's all about positioning AI as a collaborative tool, one that enhances human capabilities rather than simply replacing them. The core idea is simple but powerful. AI should help people do their jobs better. It should support and empower humans, ensuring they remain in control and can work smarter, not necessarily harder or faster. This directly counters those deep-seated fears of job displacement and the erosion of human value.
So framing it as a partner, not a replacement.
Exactly. And third is AI technology legitimation. This is where managers and key leaders within the organization actively work to establish AI as desirable, proper, and appropriate within that specific organizational context.
How do they do that?
Primarily through clear communication, persuasion, and consistent rhetoric. It means clearly demonstrating AI's utility, how it helps achieve goals, and aligning its use with existing organizational norms and values. If leadership genuinely embraces AI, clearly articulates its purpose and benefits, and shows how it fits the company culture, employees are far more likely to feel psychologically safe and accept it. Buy-in from the top is critical.
Right. And we actually have a great real-world example of that augmentation principle you mentioned. Our sources cite Ford Motor Company using cobots, collaborative robots. These robots help employees with tasks that are physically demanding, heavy, ergonomically difficult. The workers aren't replaced, they're assisted. Their work becomes safer, easier, maybe even quicker. That directly addresses the fear and the inefficacy we talked about earlier, doesn't it? It makes AI a partner in a very tangible way.
Precisely. It's a perfect tangible demonstration of how augmentation can completely transform the perception of AI from a threat into a genuinely beneficial collaborator.
Okay, so this is all fascinating from a research perspective. But for our listener, maybe they're in corporate L&D or HR, or they're a coach. How can these academic insights be translated into practical, actionable application? What does this mean for your role day to day?
Yeah, let's bring it down to practice. This is where we can look at a specific example, like the technology behind smart training AI.
Right.
You can see it as a kind of targeted learning intelligence system. And it seems specifically designed to directly address these facets of AI resistance by putting people, the learners, the trainers, right at the center.
Okay, how does it do that? Let's break it down against those resistance factors. How does it address fear?
Well, a core principle seems to be the trainer stays in the driver's seat. That's explicitly stated. Trainers remain in control. The AI system is positioned as a collaborator, an assistant that helps them work smarter, make better decisions. That directly alleviates those job displacement fears and enhances their sense of autonomy and control over the training process.
Got it. So it tackles fear through empowerment and control. What about inefficacy, that feeling of being overwhelmed?
For inefficacy, the system is designed to adapt in real time. The goal is to reduce cognitive overload. It tailors the learning experience, presumably making it easier for users, both trainers and learners, to interact effectively with the AI and the content. It's designed to make learning with AI feel intuitive and manageable, not like this overwhelming, complex thing you can't possibly master. It reduces that I can't keep up feeling.
Okay, adaptive learning to reduce overwhelm makes sense. And antipathy, the dislike or resentment.
For antipathy, the focus seems to be on the interaction style. The system apparently uses a supportive, confident, jargon-free tone. The aim is to mitigate that potential dislike or resentment, making the AI feel more approachable, less alienating, less like a cold machine dictating things. It tries to build trust through clear, supportive communication.
Interesting. And how does it connect to those organizational strategies like accessibility and augmentation?
Well, it strongly promotes transparency and accessibility. It does this by providing clear, structured reports, insights into individual learning styles, actionable recommendations for trainers. This helps build confidence in the AI's logic. It demystifies the black box effect within the learning context. You can see why it's making certain suggestions. That's basically explainable AI in action for training.
Right, making the AI's reasoning visible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it enhances human AI augmentation because the whole premise is that it enhances trainer decision making rather than replacing it. It's presented purely as a tool that empowers the human trainer, providing insights they might not get otherwise, helping them be more effective. It doesn't take over, it supports.
And there's evidence it works.
Apparently so. The creators cite comparative studies showing significantly higher outcomes. 88% higher outcomes than traditional training, is one figure mentioned. And they link this back to neuroscience principles, underscoring its precision learning approach. So the argument is, it's not just about making people feel better about using AI in training. It's about achieving demonstrably better, more precise learning results because of that human-centered, resistance-aware design.
That's a really powerful combination, then. Understanding the deep psychological roots of resistance and then designing the technology specifically to address those human factors. It really underscores that understanding the human element is absolutely paramount.
It is. And that brings us neatly to the core conclusion from that integrative review we've been discussing. The researchers emphasize that alleviating AI resistance is, and I quote, not a one-size-fits-all type of exercise, but rather a process wherein multiple types of resistance are constantly being reconsidered and reframed. The big takeaway here for everyone listening, there's no magic bullet, no single fix. It's a continuous dynamic process, and it has to be profoundly human-centered. It's an ongoing journey, not a destination.
Yeah, that really resonates. And this connects directly back to your world if you're listening. If you're a corporate L&D manager, this offers real practical insight into managing AI transitions in your training programs. It shows how to design initiatives that genuinely reduce friction by considering things like cognitive load, psychological safety, trust building. If you're a leadership coach, it provides a valuable framework. You can use this to help your clients articulate their fears and anxieties about AI, understand where they're coming from, and find solutions that build trust and confidence. And really, for any business leader, it shows how adopting AI can actually succeed, not by forcing it down people's throats, but by strategically, thoughtfully addressing the human concerns, building trust, and avoiding that predictable backlash.
And thinking about precision learning again, like the smart training AI example, it suggests a path forward. It isn't just about reducing resistance, as important as that is. It's potentially about transforming how humans and AI can truly collaborate, especially in the learning space, building trust, unlocking new potential for genuine human-AI partnership. It paints a vision of AI not just as a tool to be tolerated, but as an essential, empowering partner in how we learn and develop.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. As AI continues its rapid evolution, integrating ever deeper into every facet of our professional lives, how will you proactively foster a culture within your team, your organization, where human-AI collaboration is seen not primarily as a threat to be managed, but as perhaps our most powerful path to future innovation and growth?